All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, I don't know, episode six. Oh, crap. Episode six, I believe it is. Yeah, remember that here in our new studio, the equipment is very sensitive. Don't pound on the table like I just did. So I will, of course, introduce myself first because that's the way we roll. My name is Linda, and as Jess outed me last week, you may know my last name because she said it on the podcast, which I don't care because you know what? I don't care.
Hashtag almost famous.
Hashtag almost famous. Hashtag Linda T. Darcy. So go ahead. Let's go around and introduce ourselves.
Hello. Lindsay's here.
Hi, this is Heather.
Meg's here too.
Yippee ki yay! What?
I introduce myself like I'm in a phone conversation. Hi, this is Heather.
Hi,
like,
this is Heather. Yeah. This is she. I will tell you. I will tell our audience that I am exhausted. I was presenting all day, and so I'm a little tired. And yet, my adrenaline level is wicked high. And too much caffeine. So all of these are going to create the perfect storm for the the ultimate in snark. And I was just in a meeting and had to say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I really didn't hear a word you just said.
Oh, no.
So I'm just putting that out there.
Is that because like the little circus in here? It was like,
yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it was embarrassing, but you know, I was very upfront about it. So Lindsay's going to start. She's very excited about her fact.
Very excited.
Very, very excited. So,
I had to
all right.
Share with my husband the day before just to show my excitement, and
he didn't care.
No, he did not care.
I don't know.
No support.
No, there's a lot of support. Issues with the significant others of the members of the Fun Bunch.
The lack of.
Yeah. I had to.
The lack of support, really.
Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say lack of.
Preach. Wait, once we become famous.
Yes. Then they're going. Yeah. Then they're going to be like, oh, I was seriously. Whatever. All right.
So I have a few pieces. One of them, which was in a math class this week.
Oh, Jesus. This is a math fact.
Yes, but this one is so good.
This one's exciting.
It's so good.
I enjoyed the pie.
Thank you.
Related facts.
Oh, yeah.
They were excellent episode. I did
good old
enjoy them.
Uncle Al.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
It's catching on.
Somebody listen. It's catching on.
Somebody listen.
It's not a thing. It's not a thing. Very good.
So, in a math class, talking about percents, and mind-boggling. And I don't know how many people have thought of this already.
Okay, go.
So, if you're thinking about percentages and someone says, like, what is 17% of 50, right? That's kind of a hard thing to think about and figure out. But what if I told you that it's the exact same thing as taking 50% of 17?
I just learned that as well.
Like, something you just don't think about. And it
works. Apparently I do, because
it works with all numbers.
Yeah.
All numbers. All numbers.
Well, why did I not... were you frustrated that you didn't know that before?
Yes. More than anything, I was like, oh, really?
So, I was frustrated that I didn't know that before.
Yes.
Because my previous
Meg's
way...
I'm still thinking about this.
My previous...
I wrote it out,
I'm doing all the different numbers in my head.
Just because of proportional.
Yeah.
Look, Lindsay showed her work.
Yeah.
So that it could be reviewed. She gets full credit.
Yeah.
And Meg is reviewing it. But here's... I had, like, a previous way that I would have done any problem like that with a rounded number, like a 50% number or 10%, which was to just, you move the decimal point and then multiply by 5 or by 2 in the case of a tip. That's how I always tip. FYI, I always tip 20%.
Because it's easy.
It's easy.
Very
easy, yes.
But I said, A, I was mad I didn't know that, and B, why was that not a heuristic that is just wildly taught?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Right. No, I agree with that. But that's what Common Core is about, right?
It is so. Like, that is the piece to the puzzle that I feel like has been missing.
Mm.
That idea of just that bigger knowledge.
Right.
Of
and the number sense, right?
Yes.
And, right. And that's that's why, I mean, I love asking people, like, well, whether it's a tip or if something's 15% off. Like, how do you do that math in your head? And
right.
different
yes.
people have
we'll do tons
various
of different.
Because, you know, I figure out what 10% is and then add half of that and then subtract it from, you know.
Right.
But I know how it works.
But I should have learned multiple tools to have in my toolbox. And I'm sad that that was not one of them.
Yes.
And now I feel like I'm too old. I won't apply it. But I should.
So do you think it's fair to say that this podcast officially supports the Common Core?
Oh,
I mean, I endorse it.
Yep.
Yeah. Lindsay, no, I'm
pro.
Yeah. I also agree. It's in line with NGSS. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that I find many a social media group or comment thread that I would otherwise be aligned with, where people, and I'm not going to say the most educated on this particular matter, people it's so hot button in the weirdest way.
Right. Yes. People manage the anti people manage to really subvert it and make it sound like it is. I don't even know
what people believe. Right, right. What teachers can do and what kids have to know, which is
Which isn't what
how
it is.
I've ever interpreted it, but
all right.
Yeah. So is this reflected in a Common Core aligned
learning activity,
or at what grade level would we see this?
This would be 7th grade. Mm-hmm. That's where they do like percent off and all that.
Okay.
Taxes and all that stuff. But I wonder how many, like you said, people are just teaching them take 10% and blah blah tricks versus the actual this understanding.
Yeah,
I'm thinking I must have seen it from my 7th grader.
Yeah,
that's probably where I saw it.
Awesome,
huh?
Very interesting. Mm. Moving off of my fun math fact, which is always fun.
Oh, always.
also just have been interested lately about talking about names for generations. So I thought it'd be a fun activity to think about which generations we all are from.
So can I tell you that
this is gonna be great.
Thanks. I'm not. First of all, I'll have you know, I just did a presentation to a group of people about this. Yeah. Second, all of you evil people sitting at this table.
I think we're the same generation.
I missed. We are, but okay. I'm real close to the boomers. But but I missed it.
All right. Oh, you did miss it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. It's 1964.
I mean, it depends on your source.
I suppose.
Yes.
So. Can I just say, before we go around and do that, I have to interrupt because it's how you were excited. I don't know, maybe we're living like a parallel lives in dream world or something. Because literally yesterday or the day before, I was talking to my son about this, like, about which, I don't know why, but about which, probably because he was absorbed in his phone and it's really annoying.
Yes.
And clearly, whatever generation he is, somebody born in the aughts.
Z.
Except that I think, I'm thinking it's the I generation.
Same thing.
I think it's got to be the I generation.
Right? I mean, there's different names, but that's all talking about the same range. Well,
same group of people.
So I'm solidly X.
I am solidly X. Well, okay. I am. Let me put it this way. I'm closer to. I'm closer to the boomers than I am to the millennials. Jess is a zennial.
A zennial.
Yeah,
what
where
is
she's
that?
Right on the cusp. That she is in Gen X, but she has a lot of.
See, post 1980, it's.
I agree. Yeah. I was in high school. I was in high school in 81. And
right now, I was
and,
not.
Yeah. And there are different things that
but
mark.
But I was alive.
You know,
not
all of us.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. We are totally subverting your fun fact.
Okay, so I bring this up because I have explained to others how my mom loves listening to our podcast.
Hi, Mom.
And I feel like she most connects with you.
Linda.
Which is great to know. We have a great spin
just
audience.
Just clarify.
So, here we go.
Do you find your daughter annoying as well? Call me.
Her only daughter.
Let's get coffee.
All her mathiness.
Yeah. She gets very excited about it, actually.
Nice.
She was very excited about my math fact. So, the greatest generation.
Yep, that was World War II.
Yeah, born in 1924 or earlier.
Okay.
The silent generation.
Was the just, all right, sorry,
1925, 1945.
Oh, because of
sometimes
movies?
Sometimes
no, because
listed.
They were lost. They were also in Europe they were the lost generation, and it was because of where they fell, because they fell in between
World War One
and World War Two, but they were too young to be the greatest generation, mm-hmm. right? And so, and yet they weren't, they were born during or closer to the war, so that they're not considered baby boomers.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before that?
After that. Baby boomers.
Oh, baby boomers.
1946 to 1964, sometimes listed as 1943 to 1964. Then Generation X.
What?
1965 to 1980.
Right. 79, it says. Oh, the one that I used at 84.
And it's so funny how when you look it up, the difference.
Yeah.
The ranges and the difference in the names. Like, all of these have multiple other names, depending on.
Really? What else is like Gen X?
I don't know. I mean, that's how I know it as.
There's other. I'll have to refine
the
me
generation.
One.
Yeah,
forgot
generation. There was other names for
the latchkey kid
all of
generation.
Well, and that's exactly right. Yes. So that's what like when part of my when I presented, and I was talking about it. I was like, so the interesting thing about Gen Xers is that we are of recent generations, we're the most creative generation because that. Parents didn't care, man. Like you could have juggled chainsaws, you know, and there were, you know, you went home to an empty house. And so, and there was no big organizational sports or activities or whatever. Right. So we were left to our own devices all the time.
So my friend in real life and I were on a social message board together for this group of parents that are, concerned about, white privilege and white flight from or gentrification and the impact on our school systems. And so we were all kind of introducing ourselves and our perspectives, and she used this phrase to describe her own like upbringing in the 80s and so how she's been grappling with her own kids' schooling situation, and said at the same time what she really would prefer to do was approach it with the same benign indifference that her own family did.
Right.
And I thought that was such a great like way to think about it.
Right.
Like you got up in the morning, you went to school, your parents did not know what happened.
Right.
You came home eventually.
Yep.
And that was kind of it.
And that was, they say that, you know, you look at the boomers, that children were cherished.
Yeah.
And rightly so, because there was, after the war, so many guys didn't come home. So, like, the ability to have a child and to cherish them because you don't want them to go off to war and everything. And then our generation is this benign indifference.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
No, we were distinctly uncherished.
Yeah. I have other thoughts about some of the generational things, because I do think that it's also very... it's a very white perspective on
and it's also very fluid, you know, that like the Xennial idea that when you look at me, all right, so as 67, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a very conservative family, a military family, and
right.
so I got a lot of boomer tendencies in
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I am Gen X,
and my parents and my in-laws, same generation, like born mm-hmm. same
right,
time,
right?
I got the hippie. I was raised by the hippie dippy war protester boomers.
Yep.
And no, my husband was raised by, like, they didn't know there was a sexual revolution going on.
Yeah. At all. They missed it. That's
missed
a shame.
Completely.
Yeah. Interesting.
All right, what else you got?
I think we're moving on to the millennials.
Mm.
Who's here is a millennial?
That would be I.
What's the range?
Yeah, you're a millennial.
Yeah.
I
mean,
80s, depending. So
81 to 97.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big range.
It's a big range.
I'm a millennial.
Yeah. I was like, if you were born after 97.
I don't know if you'd be here right now.
I know very little. That's why I'm being quiet. I know very little about this.
Oh,
I'm just like,
interesting.
Taking it all in.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's funny, too. About 15% of millennials aged 25 to 35 lived at home with their parents as of 2016. Which, compared to other generations, like Generation X was like 10% in that range, Baby Boomers 8%, Silent Generation 8%. So I feel like from that, like, does that mean my children are not leaving my home anymore?
Yes.
Like, that's what I get out of that.
Pretty much.
It's going up. And then, the most recent, Gen Z.
I just feel like Gen YouTube, I don't know, something.
Right. I know what my last statistic is, that so there were about 70 million baby boomers, and there's about 70 million millennials.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like 60 million Gen Xers. And for exactly because there was a lack of importance put on children. Not just once we were there, but who needs them?
It could have also been that women's lib nonsense.
Yeah, ever, right?
All of a sudden.
That. Yeah.
All right. So, all right,
yeah,
good
that
stuff.
Was that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, who's okay. next?
I'm not necessarily. You were very excited about your fact?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I mean, yes.
Yes. I will go.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of the. And I don't know if the people in this room necessarily need to know, but there was a background or a catalyst to my looking up facts in this area.
Okay.
And it was around lawn games.
Okay.
And suffice jarts? It to say...
Are we going
to
talk about jarts?
Suffice it to say, no, I wish it was that interesting. But suffice it to say that lawn games, because I was looking it up to make sure that to be defined as a lawn game, it should be played in a lawn and not
in office.
In an office. Yeah. Just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
True. So there are many types of variations of lawn games, and my facts center on ones that involve balls. But
not cojones.
Right. So there are many types of variations that, and you know, includes games that use balls and the throwing of objects as their primary, the focus of gameplay. Mm-hmm. So what I did think was interesting is that the lawn game bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Which we might know more familiarly.
Wow.
Familiar.
Yeah. You got that one. Yeah.
I'm not going to try it again.
The vernacular is.
Or a similar example would be bocce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But it's spelled B-O-U-L-E-S.
Because
that's French.
Well, now we're going to have to do some more research. Because, it was really popular in the Middle Ages in England.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, 1066, Battle of Hastings, William the Conqueror, they're very closely
very
related.
Right, okay. So we're going to have...
We can't contribute to this conversation.
All I know is 1066, Norman invasion. For some reason, that date sticks out
in
my head.
Battle of Hastings.
Okay, great. Otherwise, I'm completely useless when it comes to historical facts. So it's been suggested, however... that there were similar games in other ancient civilizations.
Okay. Mm.
So in Egypt, based on what they found in the tombs, they found these form of
bocce
balls. In the tombs. But also, it likely originated in ancient Rome. So maybe around the same time as Egypt, or there was a lot of influence there. Since they have record of a game played by Roman soldiers that involved rolling a ball as close as possible to a mark on the ground.
Nice.
A la. So I kept thinking of horseshoes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, they probably couldn't craft balls anymore, but there were still blacksmiths making horseshoes. I have a whole theory.
Yeah. It's quite the rabbit hole you created there.
So the one that, there's lots of different variations of games that are played in lawns that involve balls. We're maybe familiar with croquet.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the most, what's been described as the world's most played form of bowls is something called pétanque.
Yeah, pétanque.
What?
Pétanque is a form of bowls and boule.
Thank you.
Where the goal is to throw hollow metal balls as close as possible to a small wooden ball called a... Now, I look at this and I want to call it a cojone, but I don't think it's a cochonette.
Oh, okay,
cochonette.
Well, if it ends in E-T, it's cochonnet.
Yes, cochonnet, which literally means what?
Oh, let me see. Because it depends on how it's spelled.
Ball. Wooden ball?
Yeah.
No.
So, little pig.
Yeah, literally means piglet. So I don't know how we got from...
Kill the piggy.
We're hurling balls at a little pig, but it was actually just another little round ball.
And that's what boule is also. Boule is where there's stop it. You don't pronounce the S.
Boule.
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 There's a small ball, and you're rolling other balls towards it. Yeah.
French always sounds so angry.
Really? Mm-hmm. Have you heard your
boule? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Bowls?
Bowls.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and there's... Okay, so then the only other thing I will say about what I've learned balls. About lawn games, about balls, is that there is apparently a game in the world that I have yet to investigate further called Shulf.
Okay.
Which is a game that is a cross between table shuffleboard and golf. Not to be confused with my other favorite outdoor game that I wouldn't describe as a lawn game, but Frolf, which other people call disc golf.
Yes.
But I insist on frisbee calling golf. Frisbee golf.
Frolf. Shuffle golf.
Okay.
Frolf. I've heard that one before.
Gonna frolf. Go play some Frolf. After I play a game of Shulf.
All right. Interesting.
I
would encourage people to look up the ancient Incan game, the ball game, right? Where it was a predecessor to, you're right, not Inca, Maya.
Maya, thank you.
Because I would,
thank you, Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia. So it was similar to, it was a predecessor to soccer. You couldn't use your hands, but you also couldn't use your feet. You could only use your hip.
What was interesting, and that was not mentioned in Wikipedia simply because I didn't like drill down into mm-hmm. their ball game, but it was played using a rubber ball.
Right.
Because I'm assuming they had rubber trees.
Right. In the rainforest.
So I thought that maybe it was more similar to like basketball.
No, because again, so all right, in a way, because the arena is, it has a strip of flat land, and then it has the two sides are slanted up, mm-hmm. and then each side has a hoop. That doesn't come. That is perpendicular to a basketball.
Oh, that was good.
So, thank you. Yeah. So it they had to use only their hips. They had to get the ball through the hoop. So right. I was never. And you know, here's where we thank God for YouTube, because for years, right? I mean, I knew
about visualize it.
Right, and I couldn't figure out how would that work.
Right.
Well, in the effort of historical recreation, there are places in Guatemala that they play the game. Huh. And so,
do they play Quidditch?
No. So I got online and I was able to watch one of these games, and it was really impressive. The fact that they could, using their hips, get the ball up high enough to go through the hoop.
It's a skill.
It
should be a worldwide phenomenon. I didn't want to delve into the various cultural differences or manifestations of different ball related games,
yep.
but this, since you brought it up. The Yanomamo.
Yanomamo
in Brazil.
Yep.
Amazon. Have also been known to play a game using a ball made from the bladder of a monkey.
Nice.
In which the ball would be hit upwards by participants who would play the game in a circle. So I think it's like the predecessor to like a hacky sack.
It could be.
Oh. With the ball of a monkey.
With the bladder of a monkey.
Oh, yeah.
The ball of a monkey would be...
Yeah. That would be really little.
I assume.
That's a terrible visual.
I assume.
Yeah. You don't know from first-hand experience.
I do
Let's
not.
Make that
I don't. Yes, no. Okay. I do not know.
What was the name of that game you just said with the ball going through the...
I don't know.
It must have a name in Quiche, but I don't know what it is. So,
okay.
It is a Guatemala. It is a ancient Mayan ball game.
Right. Was that in the movie? Did you see the movie Atlantis?
I did not.
That Disney cartoon movie?
No.
I'm pretty sure they play that
oh,
game.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Nice.
And I was like, what is that game?
What is it? Yeah, who heard of that? Yeah. Because it is, like I said, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
We don't have games like that. Yeah. Your hips. Imagine.
Yeah.
They're like sliding and like... Boom! Sorry, you guys couldn't see that. But, like, and with their hips, they're aiming at the ball. And it's not a big ball. It's a little ball.
I know. I've often thought that, like, polo was one of the weirder games that the, like, quote-unquote Western civilization plays. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. The idea that somebody would use their hip to play a game is like, well, you know, the people used big horses and a mallet. And, like, how is that really a sport for humans? But...
Okay. Yeah, it's true. The horse does all the work.
Horse does all the work.
Yeah. All right. You want to go? You want me to go?
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay, hit it.
I'm going to preface and let you all know that I have been spent the entire day with high school physics teachers.
Ouch.
So I'm a little scienced out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was possible, but I am.
Wow.
I'm not sure I can
found,
really
you found your threshold.
Talk science.
You can't science anymore?
I can't really science anymore. So as I was looking for my fact, I was like, I got to switch gears a little bit. And I came across some fun facts about America that I really wanted to share with
Excellent.
You. Excellent. Yes. And I can't wait
As
for you to...
As in the United States of
yes,
America?
Yes, yes. United States of America. Excuse me. Okay. Is there another? Oh, yeah, there is. North and South. Never mind. Yes, the United States, the country.
I would like $5 for every one of your facts that I know.
Okay. And all right? I was going to say, I can't wait for you to fact check me, too.
We need to get you a bell. So you
yeah.
Know.
Bing!
Incorrect.
Yeah.
All right. So according to Reader's Digest...
Ooh.
Did you know that there is enough water in Lake Superior to cover the entire landmass of North and South America in 1 foot of liquid?
Wow.
Interesting.
I couldn't have pulled that one off the top of my head, but I have read that before.
Have you?
I will say.
Really?
Yes.
I have not.
Yes.
I saw that and I was like, what?
Yeah.
No.
You know what, though? I'm going to say that's borderline science-y.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. It is. Well, and it's borderline math.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's all about volume.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That it is.
Yes.
And speaking of kind of math, with surface area. So America also, did you know that they sell enough pizza every day to cover 100 acres of land?
Nice. That's good stuff. I love pizza. I haven't had pizza since November.
I know. Wow. Do you have like cauliflower pizza?
I have had that, and it was an interesting substitution. It was fine, but it's not worth redoing.
The word interesting in association with food is
right.
Never,
it's never,
never
no,
mm-hmm.
no.
A lot
no.
of but like, you, effort has to go into
yeah.
making that.
But you know what I did make that was actually surprisingly good was I took ground chicken and threw some machinations, turned it into a crust and made pizza on with a ground chicken crust.
We will get back to Meg's facts.
Sure.
But you know what's an amazing thing to do?
What?
A lattice work of bacon.
Bacon. Yeah, I've seen that. And a part of me is just like, that's just too much bacon.
Wait a minute.
But
sorry,
there's
what?
Really, yeah, I know.
You can't eat a pizza crust, but you can eat a...
Oh, yeah, I can have a side of bacon.
It's one of those cool diets.
Got
yeah. Where bread is
a
bad and
bacon.
Yes, exactly. See, what as I said earlier, whatever health gains I'm making in weight loss,
yeah.
I am doing serious damage in nitrates.
It's okay. All right.
I can see that.
All right. So, president fun facts.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That's how the whole thing started.
Yeah, you ready?
Okay,
yes,
I am.
All right, so which president owned a patent and a saloon?
Nice.
Okay, wait.
My kind of president.
Owned a patent and a saloon.
Yep. He owned a patent and
I
a saloon.
I can't even guess.
Woodrow Wilson.
Nope.
He'd be more the patent guy.
Garfield.
Because
like, he
because
never did anything.
No, it was Abe Lincoln.
I was going to say Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, right?
I
good
was.
For him.
Abe Lincoln.
Do you know what his patent was?
It was for a device to lift boats over sandbars.
Nice.
Shut the
yeah.
front door.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Good old Abe.
And he like was born in like a landlocked, where isn't he born?
Yeah, Indiana or
yeah.
Illinois.
Was he Illinois or Indiana?
I'm not sure. We better get that.
Somewhere
we just totally lost the Midwest.
We really did.
Somewhere in the middle.
They all just clicked.
Yep.
Yeah, but his saloon was a miserable failure, apparently.
Yeah, yeah well.
Didn't work out.
That's because he's Honest Abe, you know. There was a one drink minimum. There was a one.
While he was in office or before?
I believe it was before.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
And I know it wasn't after. I know that much about my
well played. Well played.
Presidential.
There you go.
All right. So more on president trivia.
All right.
Which president was also an executioner at some point in their life?
What?
Yeah. So he had. So wow.
Was also an executioner.
Yep. He was an executioner.
I'm gonna go with an Adams. John or John Quincy.
No.
No. Andrew Jackson.
Nope.
It's got to be somebody early.
In the beginning.
So I'm
how
trying to think
have
because
there
was
executioners for.
Well, they used to before the Fifth Amendment. I mean, there were plenty of executioners, and that's the thing. But I'm trying to think, and if it was later, I don't know. I'm not even going to go. All right.
I can't believe we'd had a president that was throwing the.
Well, it was while he was a sheriff in Erie County, New York. He had to hang a murderer.
Nice.
Yeah, Grover Cleveland.
Good old Grover.
Mm.
He's hardcore.
Apparently.
He was an executioner, so I don't know if you get more hardcore.
That's what they always say. Honest Dave. Hardcore.
Hardcore Grover.
Hardcore Grover.
So
not the Muppet. He's not particularly hardcore.
No.
After reading that, I kind of got a damper on it, and I was like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how about something nice about America?
We are a nation of do-gooders.
Oh, brother.
According to the World Giving Index, Americans are the most likely people in the world to help a stranger.
Shut the front door.
Really?
Really?
But so, wait, according to the World Giving Index.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The World Giving Index. So do we have a source? I'd like you to source that for me.
Okay, I believe it was surveyed. So there could be some bias, obviously.
So it's a perception.
It could be.
Right. It's also
but that is the conclusion they came to based off
their thorough
investigation.
I mean, have you seen that TV show, What Would You Do?
Yes.
Right?
I was just going to say, our percentage rate of lending a hand is not high.
Right. Or any YouTube video dealing with racism, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people standing by. A
lot of bystanders.
Yeah.
A lot of bystanders. Okay, Linda.
No, you're good. But I would say I just said a lot of people just stand by, and then you said a lot of bystanders. I just thought it was funny.
Okay, I thought there were some double entendre that I entered into without realizing it.
And you just thought, due to your naivete, you didn't know. So you're
going
to roll
with
it.
And I was like, all right. Great. Now I'm offended.
Hashtag almost famous.
Half the audience again, alienated. Okay.
All right, last one.
All right.
So did you know that July 4th is not our real Independence Day?
I do. Because that's the day that they voted to sign the Declaration, but they didn't sign it until July 5th.
4th.
6th. No, they didn't actually sign it.
Okay, wait.
So they voted to sign it on the 4th.
Oh, I have a different date. All right. It says the day Congress voted us free from British rule is July 2nd.
That's what I knew.
And July 4th is when John Hancock put the first signature on the Declaration of Independence. Spread the word.
All right.
But you're welcome to fact check me.
No, I believe you.
So I should be celebrating for all of those days?
Yes. Oh. Yes. The entire first week.
A continuous festival.
Yes. Indeed.
To the 4th.
Indeed.
Sure. And we should all have
there
off of work.
Right.
They're called teachers.
Wait, was it in our last episode that Jessica, who's not here with us today,
all the holidays,
said that July 4th is her favorite holiday?
It is. Yes, I did.
Well, it was St. Patrick's Day and 4th of July, and she had a very thorough list of reasons why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did not agree with any of them.
She didn't, but now she has permission to do that July 2nd, July 3rd, July 4th, and July 5th, just for good measure.
Yeah, right, just in case, right?
Safety. Nice.
That's right, exactly.
Mom. Honor the day, truly.
Speaking of which, Jess, sorry you couldn't be here today, and also really sorry you didn't send in a fact, but whatever.
She didn't?
No.
Are you sure? Well, she thought it was yesterday.
She had a date wrong, so I'm surprised. Okay.
All right. So as I mentioned last week, all of my fun facts for the month will be Game of Thrones related. Mm-hmm. I will say, however, this is exceptionally tangentially related. But I learned this fact when listening to a Game of Thrones podcast.
Okay.
And so that's the connection. Now, this is actually kind of sciencey.
Oh.
That's right.
I don't
want
to interrupt before you start, you do. But I'm going to.
Yes.
On our either last episode or the one before that of our Fun Fact Friday podcast, I said, I don't know anything about the Game of Thrones. I haven't watched but 10 minutes of it in my life. I am proud to announce, through grit, determination, perseverance.
It's been very impressive.
And as I told Linda, the phone's in the shower with me now. Like, I am really committed
to catching up. Yeah.
I am on episode 5 of season 2.
Ooh. In a week, that's
a lot.
That's a lot.
All right, so kudos.
Excellent.
To
yes, wow. I agree.
When you put your mind to something, people,
that's
you can accomplish things.
Yep. I know. I'm not that dedicated.
Just need a little commitment. Just need a little commitment.
Now I'm really out of.
I've had to neglect my children. You know, it happens.
Sacrifices had to be made.
Yeah, sacrifices had to be made.
Okay. I hope they understood.
Do I care?
All right, so the way this relates to Game of Thrones is talking about from the House Martell, Nymeria. Okay, so Nymeria was one of the Sand Snakes.
I was going to ask you if there were spoiler alerts.
No, it's not really a spoiler alert.
I'm not
I'm not going to tell you what happens to her, but she's from Dorne. She is one of 8 bastard daughters of House Martell. And but only 3 of them made it onto the show, and so she's one of the 3 that made it onto the show. Now they are all warriors. They are all very skilled fighters, more so in the books than in the show. Nymeria's weapon of choice is a whip, which leads me to the actual science-y fun fact.
Okay.
Now, as we need to recreate what happened earlier. I said, Lindsay.
Was this you know, during work times? There was an incident involving a whip.
No. Okay. So, Lindsay, you know the sound a whip makes? Yeah, right, yes, like that. Yeah. Now, do you know how that sound is made?
Okay, so I think that was pretty straightforward.
That was so funny. Such good stuff. All right, so... Having said it's science-y, tell me, even though you're chemistry.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm covering my answer. Do you know, Meg, how that sound is made?
You just spent the day with a bunch of...
I know physics people. This is totally a physics question.
Okay. Yeah. So we want to know how the sound was made from the whip.
Yeah.
Okay. So rope goes quickly through the air. I would imagine interactions between molecules... they're being separated. Some kind of.
Let me share a structural function or a structural piece of a whip is that it starts at one diameter and then
diameter.
Nice, huh? I know the words.
Is it in itself again?
And then it gets smaller and smaller and smaller down to a point. So no. Both Lindsay and I, in our past lives, thought that that's what it was.
That it was hitting itself.
Like, yeah, yeah. But that is not the case.
No, so wait, when I know nothing in general. But is there some
period,
part of this?
Hard stop.
And it's joking. But in my little brain, it almost forms the
sound
shape
wave
of a sound wave.
Yeah.
So.
That's why it makes sound.
That's right. There you go. Preschool logic.
So, as the person who knows how to do it, right, because it doesn't happen all the time, you have to really know how to crack the whip. So,
in my house, I do.
And so, when you make that
that's
motion.
Why you watch 2 seasons.
That's right.
Everybody out of here.
What happens is the kinetic energy that's generated at the wider end is carried through and pushed down into a smaller and smaller diameter so that when it gets to the end, it's going so fast, it literally breaks a sound barrier.
Hmm. Huh.
Isn't that great?
That's very cool.
That's very cool.
Awesome.
That is pretty cool.
So awesome.
That's amazing.
Math,
did you share
science.
That should have been part of your convo with the physicists.
I was thinking the particles in the air.
Yeah, I had that thought
the
as
next
well.
NGSS unit.
Ooh, that's a great phenomenon.
But what happens when you do break this sound barrier? Isn't that that's got to be somehow what happens, right? So I think you were right.
It's certainly involved in it, but if that's directly where that sound comes from, like that makes sense.
Yeah,
to me when you said like
I
that.
I would love to hear a slow down.
Yes,
you know, like a recording of a whip snap to see if you could hear the like progression of that noise. Because would it then? You think we can? You're looking at the sound.
Sorry. Whip. Yeah. Okay. Well, because you can record a sound, right?
Yeah.
But we need a whip.
I have a couple. With or without tassels.
She's going to get it in her office drawer right now.
Always come through in a pinch. But yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Because
that
I'm
would
wondering
be kind of cool.
At what point, so the sound starts at a, or the
energy.
The wave, the energy.
Right.
Starts at a point and then progresses and at some point is breaking the sound barrier. And
yes.
I want to know like when.
What's that threshold?
Yeah.
So I will look up on YouTube because I'm sure that information and that video with the sound waves, I bet it's available. And if I do find it, I'll link it in the show notes.
Okay. Very cool.
That is cool.
All right. Good for me. Linda comes up with a science-y. Next thing you know.
We kind of swap roles
today. I know.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'll come in with a math fact. Never going to happen.
Said no one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for listening to yet another version of Fun Fact Friday with the Fun Bunch. Please rate us, review us. Feel free to judge us. The more rate and review that we get, the more people can find us, and the sooner we can be #AlmostFamous. So share us on your social media. Tell all your friends. And Fun Fact Friday is indeed, we do have our own Facebook page, so please reach out. Hello, Lindsay's mom. I'm glad that we relate yes. on a visceral level.
She's going
to
love this.
Well, now I got to tell my mom now, too.
Okay.
We already know your mom was the one that reviewed you.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. That yeah. Yeah. Nice try, mom.
Hi, mom.
Is there anyone that you actually like, Heather, that you'd like to say hello to?
I often listen to the shows back, you know, so I'll just say hi to myself.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. That's good. Self-love.
Yes.
Self-care.
Self-care.
Whatever you want to call it. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Bye.